Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the 20th chapter of John. The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. And I'm going to read from verse 19 through the end of the chapter. John chapter 20, beginning with the 19th verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the same day, at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus again to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye might, ye believing, ye might have life through his name. Let us bow for prayer. Father, now we plead that you would bless thy truth to our hearts. Open thy word and thy truth to our understanding. Grant that thy word may have free course and be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by posing a question or a hypothetical situation to you. How would you like for your entire life to be judged by the one worst day? How would you like for your whole reputation to be based on one statement? How would you like your character to be considered hundreds of years after you're gone because of one time you didn't quite do the right thing? Have you ever heard of denying Peter? Well, no, we don't talk about denying Peter. And yet he denied the Lord. But tell me, what is Thomas's name? Doubting Thomas. Doubtful Thomas is the way we think of Thomas. And yet, we find that in John 14, it was Thomas that asked the question, how can we know the way? The other disciples don't ask the question. There we read, Christ said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, that's a place we ought to be going, isn't it? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Did somebody ever give you directions and you think, I didn't quite follow that? Well, all right. I'll find my way. Well, no. Thomas says, wait, Lord, no. Lord, we don't know the way. And how can we know? That was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Thomas wanted the details. Thomas wanted to make sure he was going the right way. Thomas has said to them, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. One of the most glorious statements of all Scripture was written down for us because Thomas asked the question. And yet we think of him as doubting Thomas. And then we find also in that same chapter we find also that he was eager to follow Christ. He's the one that wanted to follow. The other disciples, well, they're just going to take it for granted, but he wanted to follow. But we find also in John 11 that he was willing to die for Christ. John 11, of course, is the account of Lazarus. And we find in John 11, starting in verse 5, that Jesus loved Martha and Mary, her sister, and Lazarus. And we find in verse 8 of John 11, the disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews sought to stone thee there. You can't go visit Lazarus. But in verse 16, Thomas says, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go and die with him. Okay? The other disciples are saying, No, you can't go see Lazarus, but Thomas says, no, let's go. If Christ is going to go there and be stoned to the Jews, let's go with him. So this man Thomas, I think, has been dealt I shouldn't put it that way, but this man Thomas has gotten a bad reputation for the worst day of his life. He's gotten a bad reputation for one small error, but it wasn't a small error. It was a huge one. And so, that's all introduction. I'd like now to go and look at this man Thomas and see how he ended up in a situation like he did and how he got his bad reputation. You see, Thomas learned the danger of forsaking the assembly of the saints. Thomas learned the danger of not being with the people of God. You see, when we look at the passage, we find, first of all, that Jesus met with the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. Look at verse 19 of John chapter 20. Then the same day at even, what day was this? Well, this was the day that the women went to the tomb and saw the angels. This is the day that Peter and John ran and found the empty tomb. This is the day of the resurrection. The same day of the resurrection when it says the 12 were gathered, but it wasn't the 12 because Judas wasn't there and Thomas wasn't there, but it's referred to the 12 because that was the church at that time. That was the people of God. On the first day of the week, God's people were there. They had gotten together and shut the door for fear of the Jews. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Maybe he was out evangelizing instead of hiding in fear, but Scripture doesn't tell us that. It's silence. But Thomas was not there. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be still. Folks, don't miss the assembly of God's people, because you never know what you're going to miss.
Yeah.
You see, if Thomas had have been there with the other disciples, we would not be calling him Doubting Thomas today. If he had been there when Christ revealed himself to the disciples, the question would have been done. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You realize Jesus Christ is here. He is right here today. He's not a liar. He's not a prankster. And I probably shouldn't even use those terms in the same sentence with his name. Christ meets with his people. The old hymn, where'er thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. Where'er they gather, thou art found, and every place is holy ground. This is the home of the Clouse. But we've observed before that it becomes holy ground when the people of God assemble here. It is other than just a residence. It becomes the place where God's people meet with Jesus Christ. Thomas's first great error was God's people were gathered, but Thomas wasn't there. And we find that Jesus brought peace to their fears and gladness to their sorrowing hearts, but Thomas wasn't there. They are gathered here with the door shut because they are fearful. In verse 19, assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Are you troubled? Has the world scared you? Are you terrified of what is going to come and what could happen? That's not the time to miss church. But rather, that is the time to meet with God's people. For they were meeting together with the doors closed in fear of the Jews. Christ came in their midst and he said, Peace. Sheep are flocking animals, folks. There are animals that dwell well solitary, but not the sheep. And that is the animal to which Christ chose to compare the church. Mm-hmm. My sheep know my voice. And so these fearful disciples were gathered together on the first day of the week, and Christ appeared in their midst, and he said, Peace to your fears. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was left to continue in his fears. But not only did they bring peace to their fears, he brought gladness to their sorrowing hearts. Look at verse 21. Again I say, peace unto you. Look at verse 20. And he said unto and when he had said so said, he showed them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Remember Mary at the tomb? Where have you taken him? Where have you laid him? Let me go and I'll go to him. These disciples were sorry. They had just lost the Lord. But when they saw him, they were glad. But Thomas wasn't there. John also records in John 14, verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In verse 27 of John 14, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, Christ is the God of peace. and of confidence. Our fears are calmed by the voice of the shepherd. Our hearts are made glad by the word of God. Don't raise your hands. But think about it with me. How oft have you come to the assembly of God's people discouraged and gone away on top of the world? How oft have you come to the time of worship burdened down with an unbearable weight and you found the weight was lifted by the word of God? How often have you come and you were troubled and you were concerned and you were afraid for the future, and you went away rejoicing because some verse of God's word just got a hold of your heart, thrilled your soul, and stayed with you for 7 days. Jesus Christ brought peace and gladness to their hearts. But Thomas wasn't there. And then we find also that Jesus revealed himself to his people, but Thomas wasn't there. Look at verse 20. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Later, Thomas is going to say, except I see the nail prints, except I thrust in my hand. Thomas, Christ already took care of that problem for you. Thomas, Christ has already revealed himself. It was there and you missed it. Because here the disciples think they're never going to see him again. He's gone. He's dead. It's over. And now he reveals himself. He proved himself to the hearts of the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. Look at the conclusion of the chapter in verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Are you doubting that you are truly of the elect? Are you doubting that you are a child of God? You're going to find out right here. Because it tells us very clearly that there are many other signs that Christ did. Multitudes and multitudes. But these few are written for the express purpose that ye might believe. Mm-hmm. And why is it that we have this account of Thomas and his denial? So we can understand that we don't need to see something with our eyes. That we don't need a great miracle. That we don't need a light from heaven. That we don't need somebody to get healed or somebody to speak in tongues or any of those things. We simply need to come together and open this book and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts through it. Mm-hmm. Right. You see, Christ is revealed in the Word of God. And he revealed himself to the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 16, turn with me there to Romans 16, verse 25 and 26. We need to have this one in front of your eyes. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. These verses, excuse me, are at the conclusion of the book of Romans. Romans 16, verse 25. Paul in his conclusion says, now unto him, his benediction, now unto him that is of the power, or of power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul says, to God who is of the power to establish you, not in signs and miracles, not in tongues and wonders, but according to the gospel, according to that which I'm preaching, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Okay, we have the gospel, we have the preaching of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of Christ. The preaching is the preaching of Christ, is the preaching of Christ crucified, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. According to the revelation of the mystery of that which revealed. How are things revealed? By a vision? No, by the Word of God, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures, there is again the fourth time, by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment, there is a fifth time, of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. See the emphasis Paul's putting there? How are you going to be established? How are you going to know for sure? How are you going to be convinced that this is true? By the Scriptures, by the Scriptures, by the Scriptures, by the Scriptures, and by the Scriptures. Five times in two verses. You see, Christ came and he revealed himself to the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. Then we find further that Jesus gave a commission to the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. What do we do next? Where do we go from here? Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, should I get another job? Should I move to another state? Should I get more education? Should I marry this person? Lord, what should I do? Well, here, Christ told the disciples what to do next. But Thomas wasn't there. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You're going to keep on in the work that you've seen from me. You're going to continue in that which you would have me to do. You know, the first item of finding God's will. I remember this when I was a teenager. That was the big question in our youth group at church. And I was blessed to go to Christian school and to be surrounded not by a bunch of drunk, druggy teenagers, but by a group of teenagers that sincerely wanted to do God's will and prayed about it together. That was an amazing blessing that I had. But the question that would come up so often is, well, how do I know God's will?
Yes.
And the answer that was the best answer I ever heard was this: are you doing God's will, you know? Because God isn't going to tell you what to do next until you start doing what you're supposed to be doing now. The first thing to do is obey what God has already told you to do, and then he'll tell you the next step when it's time.
Yep.
See, if you want to know God's will, then keep God's commandments. If you want to know what God wants you to do, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Associate yourself with the people of God. Here, Christ is telling his disciples what's next. And they had great reason to be concerned. You see, they've been following Christ for 3 years, and now he's been crucified. They've seen the miracles that he did, and they said, we can't do that. They've seen the great multitudes gather to hear the preaching of Christ. And now they're like, uh-oh, now what are we going to do? But they assembled themselves together. And while they were assembled together, Christ told them the next step. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas didn't hear that commission. And then we find that Christ breathed the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was poured out upon the church when they were assembled on the first day of the week. And we find later in the chapter, it says 8 days later. The 8 days later was also the first day of the week because they counted today. Yeah, we start, okay, how many days of the week? Well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but we don't count Sunday twice. They counted it twice in their counting. And so when it says 8 days later, it was again on the first day of the week. And on the day of Pentecost, again, Christ would pour out His Spirit upon His people. The Holy Spirit was infused into the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. Folks, do you want to live in the Spirit of God? Do you want to know fellowship with the Spirit of God? Then associate yourself weekly with the people of God. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit comes not by some vision, not by some feeling. It comes through the reading of God's Word. Amen. Through the study of God's Word. Christ breathed His Spirit upon the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. Then further, we find that Christ instructed the disciples in doctrine. And Thomas wasn't there. Look at verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Folks, that's heavy doctrine.
Yeah.
That's heavy doctrine that has been thoroughly missed by the multitudes. Yeah. The disciples understood exactly what Jesus was saying to them. They got it straight from His mouth. And folks, if we are to receive doctrine, we get it straight from His mouth. And this is the mouthpiece of God. This is His Word. Inspired and hallelujah, glory, it's been preserved. That we might understand and receive true doctrine. Christ isn't talking here about the disciples forgiving sin. He's not saying, Peter, if you forgive somebody's sins, they're forgiven. And if you don't forgive their sins aren't forgiven. That's not what He's saying at all. Only the Creator can forgive the sins of the creature. A creature cannot forgive a creature. A creature cannot forgive a creature's sins. Anybody have a car loan? Oh, I forgive your car loan. You don't have to pay it anymore. I'm going to come get your car. Because I do not have the authority or the power to forgive your car loan. None can forgive sin but God. And so set that thought aside. And the sad thing is this. You realize that all of the Judeo-Christian cults came out of the truth, but came about by people who did not pay attention to the book. They didn't read the manual. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Scientology, Sun Wan, Whoever Moon, Jim Jones, you go down the list. They came up with their own ideas instead of reading the mind of God. Jesus Christ instructed His disciples in sound doctrine. But Thomas wasn't there. He didn't hear it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, Paul makes it very clear what this was. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. to the wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a man is brought to repentance by the Spirit of God, his sins are remitted. And when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and because of a hard, stony heart that knows not God and is not drawn by the Spirit of God, that person rejects the gospel, their sins are retained. And that is exactly what Christ is saying, because he just said, go ye and preach the gospel. And so, sound doctrine was being expounded. But Thomas wasn't there. We read for our responsive reading this morning, Acts 17, which is the preaching there at Athens. And at the end of the chapter, we read that some, when they heard, they mocked. It wasn't a fault with the preaching. It was a fault with their stony hearts, and their sins were retained. And again in Acts 26, we find Paul preaching to Festus and Agrippa. And Festus says with a loud voice, thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made thee mad. You're crazy, Paul. And his sins were retained, but it wasn't Paul. It was the message. And so we find that Jesus Christ came and he met with his disciples. He came and he brought comfort to them. Let me get my notes so I get it right. He met with his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. He brought them peace to their fears, but Thomas wasn't there. He revealed himself, but Thomas wasn't there. He gave them a great commission, but Thomas wasn't there. He breathed his spirit on them, but Thomas wasn't there. And he taught them sound doctrine. Thomas wasn't there. But aren't you glad that our God is the God of second chances? He's the great rehabilitator of fallen man. Folks, we've made a mess of things. But Jesus Christ takes a mess of things and makes of it a new creature. And transforms it into something that it could never have been on its own. And folks, that's the glorious story of Thomas. Not doubting Thomas, but believing Thomas. Oh, we've seen a whole list of causes of his failure, and we can either emulate them or shun them. But look at verse 26. And I've already talked about that eighth days in verse 26. It was the next Sabbath day. Verse 26 of John 20. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Ah, Thomas, so good to see you. We missed you last week. Thomas, so glad you're here. Thomas, so glad you want to hear the word of God. Thomas was with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being closed. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. He's already fulfilling his promise. And stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. How did Christ know what Thomas had said? He wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there to hear it. And when Thomas made his declaration, Jesus wasn't there. Or was he? Because two or three were gathered together and Jesus heard Thomas's word. Every idle word will give account of. And so, verse 27, beginning again, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Folks, is your faith weak? Do you find yourself unbelieving? Do you pray again and again, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief? Jesus will answer that prayer. He reveals himself to his people through through the ministry of the word mm-hmm. among the assembly of the saints. Mm-hmm. Verse 27. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say Thomas reached forth his finger and stuck it in the nail print. Doesn't say Thomas reached forth his hand and thrust it in his side. No, he didn't need any of that. He thought he did. But he didn't need a light from heaven. He didn't need a vision. He didn't need some extra revelation. He simply needed to see Christ. Mm-hmm. And folks, we see Christ in the Word. My Lord and my God. Then Jesus saith unto Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which hath not seen, yet have believed. Ah, my eyes, these failing eyes that need glasses to see. These eyes have not beheld Christ. But oh, folks, I've seen him. Mm-hmm. Ah, he has come out of this glorious book and arrested my heart, changed my soul, transform my life. Everything I am, I owe to him. Everything I've done wrong is to his shame, and yet he's forgiven me. And I am whole in him. I have seen him in the Word. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Another passage of Scripture says if they were all written, the books couldn't contain them. There would be so many. But folk, these are written. This small, brief record, so accessible, so available, so easy to read. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, just as doubting Thomas believed and doubted no more. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, the significance of Christ appearing with them was to prove that he was alive. And the significance of this word is it proves to my heart that I too am alive mm-hmm. because I live in him. Christ did great things, but Thomas wasn't there. Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word. Lord, we thank you for the glorious example that you've given to us of Thomas. Oh Lord, if this book, the Bible, were simply a collection of man's writings, man would have written of heroes. Man would have written of infallible men. But rather, this book is written of one infallible man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. So, Father, bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name.